The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. Not just any Thursday, March Madness Thursday. It is a numbers game. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, DraftKings Network, however you're taking us in. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada. The day was happening.
Not much, man. We will rock you welcoming us in this morning. All right. Yeah.
You know what you're going to have to do tonight? You're going to have to call me and remind me that it's not Friday today. Because I did year this happens. I've reminded myself multiple times yesterday that this morning is not Friday morning.
Yeah,
because it feels like Friday morning because of March Madness.
It does. It does. I always try to schedule like one thing or something on this Thursday just to avoid that feeling.
Yeah.
Like I got one other thing I got to do today after the show.
What's that? Share with us.
No, doctor's point.
Oh, okay, great. Well, great scheduling on your part, by the way. Well, nice lead on. By the way, if you have not submitted your bracket yet, and I know you know who you are, because there's still a little over 2 hours here before the first tip between Mississippi State and Michigan State. Wait a half an hour, because Dr. Bob is going to join us, and he will go through what the underpicked teams are in terms of filling out your brackets. The idea, the bigger the pool, the more contrarian you ought to be. And he has access to the big pool numbers, and he will try to optimize your bracket if you have not submitted it yet. One last person you got to listen to, because before that, Zach Cohen will have his college basketball plays as well. We'll have Crack a little later on the show, and I got to tell you what my Survivor play is today. We're going to get to that momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Real quick, because the Dodgers now are on pace to go 1-1. Just want to get this out of the way, Kelly. Dodgers lose to the Padres here. Shohei, 1 of 5 in this ballgame. In case you missed it, the other big story yesterday, and we'll get into this a little later perhaps. Or you know what? Maybe not, because it's March Madness. But we do have to mention that if you missed it, if you're trapped under heavy object yesterday, Dodgers interpreter for Shohei Ohtani fired after questions surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation set off a series of events. Ipe Mizuhara, longtime friend and interpreter for Ohtani, incurred the gambling debts to a Southern California bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation that was from multiple sources, as told to ESPN. How he came to lose his job, started the reporters asking questions about the wire transfers. Mizuhara had a contract with the Angels when Ohtani played there and signed with the Dodgers this offseason. He confirmed to ESPN he's been paid between $300,000 to $500,000 annually. And the issue with this story is that, as Dallas Braden, former ballplayer Dallas Braden, pointed out, the rough timeline, Ohtani went on record with ESPN stating that he transferred $4.5 million himself to the bookmaker on behalf of his interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara. Then a spokesperson for Ohtani delivered Ipe to ESPN and said, here, talk to him. And Ipe says Ohtani never bet and felt bad for him, Mizuhara, and paid off his debt, Mizuhara's debt, so he'd never do it again. Then the spokesperson for Ohtani says, wait a minute, now that I've heard this interview, he's lying, the interpreter, after he gave his 90-minute statement to ESPN. Ohtani's lawyers claimed a massive theft, quote unquote. And then Ipe then said that Ohtani had zero knowledge of his debt or the gambling habit in general. That about right? So it's just there's all these, you know, just the stories are changing and they're evolving and
a legal mess. I'm sure.
Yeah. Let's just put it this way. This doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good. I mean, if you believe the surface story, it's kind of sad if you believe the surface story of this guy who, you know, the interpreter who you always see with Ohtani, who's been with him since he's gotten into the majors, who, you know, is basically a close friend, personal assistant interpreter, all combined into one. Okay, man, you went and lost a ton of money, and then Shohei's going to cover $4.5 million worth of your debts.
So that
what
is,
a dude.
So if you believe that story, you're right. It's how could you mess up that Cush gig.
Yeah.
And boy, you know, what a great friend Ohtani is to you.
Right.
Or if you believe the other side of this, which is, ain't none of that true.
Right, exactly.
And oh, what a friend
Someone's
he is
taking
to Ohtani.
The fall. Yeah.
Oh, what a friend he is to Ohtani on the flip side.
Right,
covering up for all that time. So we'll see.
See how that plays out. Yep.
And sports betting is viewed differently now than it was back in the Pete Rose days. So it's not an equivalent. And again, there's no allegation that there's baseball bets here either. So let's put it this way. The big difference, and I'll end it on this. The big difference is while baseball did everything back then to just shun Pete Rose, you would think they would take an opposite tact here of having this go away as quickly as humanly possible.
Completely agree. Yeah.
So I don't know. Okay. I don't know if you know this. March Madness, 2 hours away. Man, this is fantastic. And so I have famously said, I don't do brackets anymore. I am a Survivor guy, and I believe it is the most fun thing. NCAA Survivor, as great as NFL Survivor is, NCAA Tournament Survivor is the greatest thing ever because it's multidimensional. Not only is it, you know, again, contrasted with the NFL. NFL, 20-team, if you do the Circa one, which has a Thanksgiving and a Christmas quirk, that's a 20-team money line parlay where you can't pick the same team twice. It's linear. One direction. This is multidimensional. It's chess because not only do you have to survive on a daily basis with one team, but you also have to make sure that you have teams remaining once we get down the stretch, Elite Eight, Final Four, and Championship game. Because otherwise you'll be eliminated that way. So now let me just say this. The quirk to my Survivor, the Survivor that I'm in, maximum three entries. But here's the key. You are allowed one rebuy-in on each of them. So even if I get knocked out today, I'm allowed to rebuy. So what does that mean? That one time only, by the way. Everybody gets this this allowance. So the question is, do I, just like with NFL Survivor, do I pick a different team in each of my three entries? Do I go all in on one? Well, with the rebuy, I think I'm going to shove with one team. And the problem with, you know, unlike my tennis picks, which we're about to do here, where I'm by myself locked into my numbers and here are my picks and it's very mechanical for me. This is more like, okay, let me hear what everybody else has to say. I did a podcast with Todd and Will, a Beating the Book Megapod podcast with Todd and Will. Then I, of course, we had Peter Keating and Jordan Brenner on yesterday. And you know, like taking all this information, and the issue is, or at least with all this anecdotally that I took in on this show, there's not really a consensus on any update. Oh, by the other big rule in the contest that I need to talk about is the tiebreaker is upset incentivized.
That's hilarious. Okay. It's funny you just said that because we're going to get to my bets in a bit right. That I've made. It's not many dogs.
So you're incentivized because in the end, if you're tied, if you're picking the 13s and the 12s and your numbers add up to more, you'll be the winner. I ended up with, because there was no consensus between Todd, Will, and Jordan Brenner, and Peter Keating, and everybody else who we had on the show. Because for every McNeese State, right?
Right, yes.
There was people saying, yeah, but it's still Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And for every, you know, for every NC State, having come off the ACC tournament, just to use another example, you know, you had Todd and Will both saying, I like Texas Tech.
Right, yep.
I ended up with Colorado State. Over Texas.
Okay.
And I'm shoving on Colorado three. Because I don't think Texas is very good.
I still think you're playing it right, though.
It's still a double-digit seed. Yeah. Colorado State, albeit a 10. And so, and again, I have the rebuy. So the pressure is not such that it would eliminate me entirely. So I'm going all in on Colorado State today. That is my Survivor play. And again, I don't feel like Colorado State is going to advance deep into the tournament.
One more time. It's four entries and you're
three.
Three and you're pushing, you're shoving all three.
Shoving okay. Colorado State because I do get a rebound. If I lose today, I'm still not eliminated.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I couldn't remember if you told me you had three or four and you were saving one.
No,
you're going three to Colorado State. Okay.
All right. Shove.
Cool. I like it. It's kind of funny you say that, though. I'm just going to go to my bets. Look, college basketball, I bet lightly. If you've listened to this show, you know this is not my forte. This is fun gambling action during the NCAA tournament. I'll get involved live like you will, too, but I wanted to put these in pregame. What's the one trend here on the game bets, Gil? Not any dogs.
Not a single. By the way, that is
because of what you said.
There is a little voice in my head. Because what have we talked about all week? Not only this show, but every show in the universe, every show on this network, every show in the sports betting universe, sports media universe talks about all the upsets, right?
Right.
There's been a little voice in my head all week that said, what if this is the year where there ain't much of that?
So, me too. And I hope we're right, Gil. But knowing that it's called March Madness and that doesn't happen all the time, I'm pretty terrified of it. So real quick today, I bet BYU laid 7.5 with them. I bet that on the opener. Drake Moneyline played that. And then Friday, I've got FAU, Baylor, Auburn, TCU. Futures, FAU horrible number, bet a while ago. Tennessee and Auburn just bet yesterday. Yeah, excited to add, though.
I should mention, I do have my futures and, you know, throw them in the trash already. But I had BYU at 100-1 to win it all. Yes, they're in the tournament. You never know. I have Alabama to win it all. Yes, they're in the tournament. You never know. 60-1. I don't expect either of those to win. To make the Final Four, these are, you know, UConn certainly live at plus 180. Got that in February, early February. And then BYU at 12-1 to make the Final Four. Let's just put it this way. Stranger things have happened.
I mean, well, and also, at least all your numbers are better than what they are now.
Oh, yes. That for sure.
I pulled up some of those futures yesterday. FAU's like 200-1 places. I'm like, cool, I got 75-1. Let's go.
Well, FAU's a great example. We had Jim Root on yesterday, so the three-man weavers. So Jim reports to us that both of the other guys love FAU in their opener. And I'm like, aren't they a year late on FAU? He's like, I think so. Right? So it's like even those three guys can't get together on just the outcome of that one game, let alone some of these other.
I was listening to their pod. So it's Matt is what, like he was last year, is heavy on FAU and thinks that they can kind of recapture what they had last year since it's a lot of the same pieces. Kai went along with it, and I think they both had them upsetting then UConn. But remember, Jim we talked to yesterday, he had UConn beating FAU in the second round, but then losing
after that
in the Sweet 16.
To Auburn, which is right. Not nearly as controversial, yeah. It's going to be so much fun. We'll talk more college hoops on the other side with Zach Cohen, Dr. Bob as well. Zach with some tennis plays. I have my tennis plays at the top on the other side as well. Kelly's got some NBA plays, or at least one. All of that and more. March Madness, it's coming. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget to get your VSiN annual subscription for $199. $199. Daily best bets, betting splits, March Mania betting guide. You got to use promo code ANG, though. Sign up today, VSiN.com/subscribe. But that $199 subscription, only if you use promo code ANG.
Promo code ANG, like a numbers game. If you want to find anything that Zach Cohen writes about sports betting, you got to have that promo code. Get it on the website now. Check it all out.
That's absolutely right. Check it out. VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, that's the voice of Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Before we get to Zach, can I do my tennis picks here? Here's the dilly. Second part of the Sunshine Double, Indian Wells being the first, Miami Open being the second. Yesterday, we went 2-1 on the show. Terrible play by me on Angelique Kerber to start the day. She didn't show up against Sloane Stephens. But Sloane always gets me. Like, she's the one who bucks the numbers and she just performs however she performs on a daily basis. But then,
can I go real quick post-show content yesterday?
Oh,
so,
yeah,
so I spent a solid 10 to 12 minutes. Sorry, Zach. We'll get to you in one sec. I spent a solid 10 to 12 minutes watching the great keepers of the Sigma Derby, like, clean it and like get it all reset. That's so fascinated by it. I'm like live texting Gil what I'm watching.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to take a picture of it, but I was like live. I was talking to these guys. It was beyond fascinating. I get to my car downstairs. Gil's still in his car. I thought he had left like 20 minutes ago.
What?
He's in his car sweating out this tennis match.
Well, that one wasn't much of a sweat, but we came back and hit Nadia Podoroska as a plus 195 dog yesterday against Ashlyn Kruger. That was a straight set win, so that more than made up for that. And then Katie Vollinets, although she did wobble in the second set against Sophia Kennan, she got it done in three. So 2-1 and a nice winning day yesterday. I got four today, all on the women's side. It's not like I'm not I am handicapping the men's side. I just don't like anything. But on the women's side, I got four, and they're all slight dogs, at least when I put them in at VSiN.com/picks last night. Remember, all show hosts and guests, every sport, all the picks at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. I got Yulia Putintseva at plus 174 over Ludmila Samsonova, who, boy, she just is fade material to me so often. And I think Putintseva is the player at plus 174, and her raw numbers are better than Samsonova's, quite frankly, 6 and 3 months. Dion Parry is the first one that goes, is in less than an hour.
Dion
Parry, how many times have we played her? Plus 137 against Beatriz Haddad-Maia, who is not in her best form. Deanna Schneider, it's pronounced Schneider, although it's spelled Schneider. She's a slight, I got her a slight dog. I'm checking the prices right now to see if these are still in pocket here against Maddie Keys. Maddie Keys has not been good. Schneider took down Venus Williams. Madison Keys is a slight step up, but not much of a step up these days. Schneider should not be a dog or even a short favorite here. And then Yue Yuan, plus 167 against Maria Sakkari. I know it. She just got to the finals at Indian Wells, but Yuan is a steely player with really good numbers, and she should not be plus 167. So those are the plays. Putintseva, Parry, Schneider, Yuan. Zach Cohen joins us, everybody. VSiN.com senior writer who writes about every sport under the sun. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Zach?
Doing well. We have the same play on one of them. I have Diana Schneider as well.
There we go.
Simpatico. Is that a good thing, Zach, when you and I are on the same one? How have we done? Have you documented this when we're on the same one?
It's been happening actually quite a bit. Yesterday, I got burned by Kerber as well, but I won on volley nets. I had a decent day yesterday. I had Matteo Arnaldi. But yeah, so hopefully this one's good. I mean, Keys is just, you just said Samsonova's, you know, fade material. I think Keys is as well. She's only played two matches since October. Really looked bad in the one win. And then, you know, the loss to Putintseva, I thought was really terrible. She just couldn't get the ball over the net. So I do think Schneider, who has won, you know, 11 of the 16 matches she's played this year, comes in with good form, but more importantly comes in, you know, with just more match play. I think it's a really good, you know, really good matchup for her.
Yeah, I'm looking at these prices. They're all still in pocket. Schneider is minus 104. Four-ish now, I'd still play it at that number. And I assume you would as well, Zach. Okay.
Definitely.
Let's crescendo to college basketball. Do you have anything NBA?
I have one NBA pick, although I've been horrible in the NBA lately. I'm talking about firing my translator. You know, I've got Pelicans -3 against the Magic. I just think this is the matchup between two teams that very good defensively. Both are top five in defensive efficiency, but the Pelicans are, you know, 12th in the league in offense. The Magic are 24th. New Orleans comes into this game after two full days off. They haven't played since Monday. Magic played on Tuesday, so the Pelicans have the rest advantage. And there's just a small advantage for New Orleans in terms of the three-point line. New Orleans can shoot the ball, you know, just a little bit better. They're about 38% this year. They don't take a lot of them, but they do make them when they take them. The Magic can't really shoot. I think that the Pelicans are going to exploit that here.
Okay. By the way, and I caught your interpreter comment there. Yes, Kelly.
Hardwood handicappers for life. I'm in with you, Zach. Pelicans. Yes, we Pelican.
Oh, you guys match on that.
I am back on New Orleans again today. I think it's like the fifth straight game I'm betting them. This one, you just laid it all out really well, Zach. I'm just going to say on this opening number, it was like 1.5. I know the Magic have been really hot. I've got the Pelicans just rated way, way more than a 4 or 5 point difference between these two teams.
Zach, you are a match machine. By the way, did you have another tennis play? Did I gloss over that?
I have two other tennis players. Don't worry.
They're
on the website in case people miss them. But I have Harold Mayo to beat Daniel Altmaier. It's another one where I'm really just fading one of the players. Altmaier has lost 6 of his last 7 matches, lost his only 2 matches on the Golden Swing. He's a player that we expect things out of on clay. So the fact that he wasn't able to win there kind of says a lot about his form right now. He's a player that I think, you know, kind of could be lacking in the serve. He's not very good from the baseline right now. Mayo is, you know, just a tough player that gets a lot of balls back, has a little bit of aggression when he needs it. And I just think that he's coming into this match playing pretty well. He had to go through qualifiers to get here. I kind of like that because this guy's getting used to the courts. And then I also took Dan Evans' money line. It was about plus 120 against Lorenzo Sonego, which betting on Dan Evans is a roller coaster. He's 0-3 against Sonego in his career. But I think that Evans, who has been struggling this year, his real issue has been his serve. Sonego's break percentage is at like 10% this year, which is, you know, horrible. So I think that Evans is going to get back on track with his serve. I think that these courts, they can play a little slow. They can play a little windy. It gets windy in South Beach. You know, it's hot, humid, and Evans hits a lot of slice and makes players uncomfortable.
Yeah. Dan Evans, when he was playing in D.C. last year, was the greatest tennis player alive for 1 week. By the way, what are you saying? It's hot in Miami. Kazao fainted on the court. They had to stop the match.
That was against Mayo, too. So he might not even be in the main draw.
That's right. And Berrettini almost fainted yesterday in like 76 degrees. God.
It just pulled up the weather. It's not that crazy.
It's not that bad. But that's
yesterday, I think it got to 90.
These athletes just fall like fainting on the court. It's hard to watch. All right. College hoops. Let's get to it. March Madness round of 64. What do you got today? Maybe you have some for tomorrow as well.
I have two today. I have Morehead State plus 12, which I feel like everybody's on. I'm also on another one that everybody's on. But I do think Illinois comes into this, you know, after a Big Ten championship. I think that there's some letdown, you know, material here. I think that they'll probably figure it out and maybe pull it out in the second half. But I do think it's a tough matchup. Morehead State's a top 10 team in terms of effective field goal percentage defense. You know, they slow the game down really, you know, to the, I think, a top, one of the slowest paces in all of college basketball, I believe, top 20. And Illinois wants to play fast. They want to launch a lot of threes. Morehead State defends the three-point line really well. So I do think this is a really tough matchup for them. And Morehead State has a guard in Riley Minix who can score the basketball. Illinois has not played defense. So I think this is a matchup that it could get really dicey. I think the Defining Illini might be, you know, in a really close game at halftime and probably win a close one.
He used the phrase score the basketball. That's a $40 fine. Who do you think started that? Jay Billis? Who started that phrase? Score the basketball. Yeah, I'll look into that. Numbers game investigation coming up on that. We'll get on it. What's your other one today?
Stanford plus 8, and I'd play that down to 7.5, and I do think I'd sprinkle the money line on that. I just think that the vibes with the Jayhawks are really bad right now. You know, you lost McCullough. I think that Dickinson said that he's going to play, but it sounded like he's playing because he doesn't want to miss the game. It doesn't sound like he's fully healthy, and that's a Kansas team that really struggled down the stretch, and I think that Stanford is one of the more dangerous mid-major teams in the country. I think that they can really shoot the basketball. They can, you know, get up and down the floor, you know, make them, you know, play kind of a weird game. They play really fast, and I just think this is the worst Kansas team we've seen in a while, and I do think that they're probably going to go out here.
You see, Samford was another one that I considered for Survivor today, obviously with Kansas's injuries and McCullers famously being out. When they played against top level competition, it did not go well for them. So like I couldn't quite, and when I say did not go well, I mean really did not go well. So I couldn't pull the trigger on them. What about tomorrow? Anything?
I have the over in Charleston and Alabama, which I think is going to be one of the most fun games in the tournament. I just think both of those teams play at a lightning fast pace. Both of them shoot a ton of threes. I know we think of Alabama as the team that likes to run and gun. Charleston shoots more threes, you know, as part of their shot diet than any team in the league, and, you know, any team in mid-major. So I do think this is the game that's going to be up and down, both teams launching threes. I think even if you do see, you know, 5 minutes early in the game where it's lower in scoring, just as they get used to the courts, I still think it's going to fly over. It's a, you know, it's a high number at 172.5, but I still like it.
Yeah, it was higher. It was 174 at one point, at least when I saw it, and it is by far the biggest total on the board in the round of 64. Anything else college hoops wise before we get out of here? 20 seconds, or that covers it?
No, I mean, I guess I'll put my one hot take out there is I don't think that people are talking high enough about Duke right now. I know that the season was a little up and down, but, you know, I like what you do when you talk about, you know, the factors that make a championship team. I think Duke is right outside of that. They're a really good team offensively and defensively, and I kind of think that when you get a team like that, a four seed or so, where no one's talking about them, they're dangerous, and I think that they have one of the most talented backcourts in the country.
There's no doubt there has been very little buzz on Duke, that's for sure. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. Dr. Bob is next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get ready to dominate the brackets, turn your picks into profits this tournament with the VSiN Pro March Mania Betting Guide. Inside this guide, you'll find expert strategies, insider tips, and in-depth analysis that'll give you the edge you need to outshine the competition, from underdog upsets to championship predictions. The VSiN Pro Betting Guide will have brackets from hosting experts, NCAA tournament betting trends, and of course, best bets for every round of the tournament. Don't miss out on this game-changing resource. It's not too late. Download the VSiN Pro March Mania Betting Guide today at VSiN.com/madness. That's VSIN.com/madness. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Kelly, would you say more people milling about, because we do this show from 7 to 9 a.m. Pacific daily, more people milling about on the morning of March Madness than any other day of the year?
Yes, absolutely. We're filling up quick.
Yep.
Matt, I don't know if you can pan that camera at all, but we've got everybody's staking their claim. It's like their land, right? Like, yeah, yep. Got to grab the table for the day.
Oh, that's what's happening.
That's what's going on.
Right.
We've got like a bunch of one man tables going on right now.
Love it. And I love that we have this gentleman on the show. And again, I started the show by saying, if you have not submitted your bracket yet, wait till we talk to Dr. Bob. His name is Bob Stoll. He goes by Dr. Bob. You can follow him on Twitter at Dr. Bob Sports. That's Dr. Bob Sports. And of course, drbobsports.com, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Bob joins us now. How you doing, Bob? What's happening?
I'm doing all right. Didn't get a lot of sleep on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but I caught up yesterday a little bit. It's fun work.
Yeah, let me just ask you this, if I could. Like, as long as you've been doing this, does Does a little boy come out of you when March Madness begins, or are you such a robot at this point doing what you do with modeling that you don't feel it anymore with this event?
I'd be working during the day on Sunday, Selection Sunday, doing my, trying to do my ratings on certain, on teams as I go along. And then the selection show would come on and I'd flip it over and I'd be looking at the selection show and getting all fired up about matchups. And a couple of years ago, I just kind of stopped doing that. I'm like, well, that sort of distracts me from doing the work I need to do. So today, this year, I actually got done a day earlier because I didn't watch any TV. I didn't watch any brackets or selection shows or bracket analysis. I didn't watch anything on TV, and I was able to get my work done a day earlier than normal. So I got my brackets out to and my simulation out on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. So that helped a lot of people. So right. No, not as excited as I used to be.
Okay. Well, that said, before we get to the bracket talk macro wise, how about we talk about a play today? What do you like today that's still available?
Kansas is -7 now. Kevin McCullough's out. For Kansas, second best player on Kansas. Dickinson might not be 100%, but I think he'll be fairly close to it for the Jayhawks. They're going up against a Samford team that likes to run and tempo, and that's fine. That run and gun style that Samford uses is one of the fastest teams in the nation. It works great when they're playing the weaker teams from the Southern Conference, but they faced two teams that were better than them this year. And they lost by 53 points to Purdue and by 10 points at VCU, and VCU is not nearly as good as Kansas. So that fast pace tends to work against teams when they're playing better teams. I think Kansas is going to love to get up and down the floor. They're faster than normal team anyway. And I think they'll be really focused. With McCullough out, I think that the team is more likely to say, hey, one of our best players that we really got to buckle down. And so they're more likely to be focused against a lower-seeded team than they might otherwise. Also, Bill Self's team coming off a loss tends to be really good historically. Since he's been at Kansas, they're 53-27-3 as a favorite off a loss against the spread. 53-27-3 against the spread. Kansas favorite off a loss, including 6-1 in the NCAA tournament. So I think Kansas is going to be really focused. McCullough is worth a couple points, and I put that in my ratings, but I still favor the Jayhawks by 9.8 points here with the fast pace included in that projection. So I think it's a good bet at up to -8.
Yeah, I was just talking about this with Samford and their performance against better teams on the other side of the break just before you, and that is part of the reason why I could not take them in Survivor. I just thought it was too trendy, and you have corroborated that nicely. All right, let's talk about the brackets in general. So let's couch this by saying that the folks that are in, that still haven't submitted and are in these big pools, now this doesn't apply to like the guys are doing it with, their 9 friends, but if you're in bigger pools, 100, 1,000, however many entries are in there, the incentive, the bigger the pool, the more risky you want to get with some of your plays, the more upset minded you want to get. You got to be diverse. In other words, you got to differentiate yourself from the pack. And so,
yeah,
go ahead, Bob, you take it from there.
No, you go.
No,
I was going to say, basically what you want to do is inject some variance with value. So you want to inject some teams that are maybe off the radar or, upset picks to get to the Final Four or something like that, but that have value versus what everyone else might be picking. UConn is easily the best team in the tournament. They are better than they were last year because now they got everybody healthy. When everybody's playing, and they had a lot of injuries during the season, and when everybody's playing, they are really, really good. Normally, you do not find value with really high seed. This year, comparing my simulation to the national pools, who's picking who, et cetera, I'm finding value on Connecticut a little bit. Now, 30% of the people are picking Connecticut to win, and I have them at 34%. Normally, the higher seeds are like -5 or 10% below what the public's picking them, and you kind of need to steer clear. But Houston also has a little bit of value. I think people, with Houston going out earlier than people thought in recent years, I think they've got a little bit of a stigma and people are kind of avoiding them. But I give Houston about an 18% chance to win it all, and they're being picked around 12-13% by the public. So Houston could be a good alternative to Connecticut. But if you're going to take Connecticut, you need to inject some value somewhere else. Teams like Arizona, Tennessee, Baylor, legitimate chances to make the Final Four. So you can put some of those in there. But the one that I think has the biggest value to make the Final Four is St. Mary's. I give them a 13.8% chance to make the Final Four. The public is only picking the Gale 2.5% to make the Final Four. So if you're in a huge pool, and you can have Connecticut going to your Final Four, but if you want to avoid the masses and want to take someone else, or you can take Connecticut, fine, I would. I did in my pool, but it took St. Mary's to make the Final Four as something to differentiate yourself from the 30% of the people that are taking Connecticut. So you have to think about stuff like that. And if you really want to avoid Connecticut, then Auburn, who they probably face in the Sweet 16, would be a legitimate pick, because Auburn is a legitimately good team. The problem is they're facing Connecticut, but if they beat Connecticut, they've got a good road to the Final Four and could easily win it. So if you really want to go rogue and be amongst very few having Auburn to win it all, that could be something you want to do in a huge pool to give yourself a, you know, kind of a clear lane. If they happen to get by Connecticut, dogs, it's not unreasonable. And once they do that, Auburn really has the makeup of a team that could win it all if they can get by Connecticut. So there's some things to think about.
I hope if you have, again, if you're one of the those who have not submitted their bracket, there's a bunch. We still have an hour and a half to go here before tip-off of March Madness. That is really something you inject into your pool if you're in a large one. Let's split the difference. Last thing here, Bob, because you mentioned championship. You mentioned Final Four with St. Mary's. You mentioned Sweet 16. With Auburn as well getting to the Elite Eight, is there any other teams in there beyond the ones you just mentioned that might be a differentiator for folks?
Yeah, first of all, for the Elite Eight, there's certain teams you avoid. The biggest negative value teams, according to my simulation, would be North Carolina, Kentucky, and Iowa State. Now, Iowa State mostly because, you know, they're, I don't know, I thought Iowa State would be one of the top five or six teams in my rankings, and they ended up like eighth or ninth. So it really surprised me when I dialed it in. But North Carolina, Kentucky, and Iowa State have the most negative value to make the Elite Eight. Reasonable.
And let's define that again. Negative value, meaning, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, for instance, like, North Carolina, for instance, to make the Elite Eight, I give them a 35% chance. That's great. But 71% of the public are picking North Carolina to make the Elite Eight. That's negative 36% value.
Huge.
Kentucky, I give them 23% chance, and the public's picking them at 47%. So a huge difference. So if you want to, you know, stay away from teams that the public is picking more than they're worthy, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Iowa State are the three most for the Elite Eight section. And teams that you could sneak in there that have positive value to make the Elite Eight are teams like TCU, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Marquette. Now, Cole is, you know, assumably going to play and be healthy for Marquette. So those are teams that have positive value to make the Elite Eight.
TCU, your audio cut out there, so let me just repeat it. TCU, Michigan State, Wisconsin and Marquette, those are the four?
Yeah, Wisconsin and Marquette were the four that had value for the Elite Eight, to make the Elite Eight.
Okay. Bob, beautiful. Anything tomorrow you wanted to share with us real quick that you might have a play on before we go? 30 seconds.
No, I'm still working on some stuff for tomorrow, so if you want to have me back on again, perhaps I can throw one out tomorrow.
Well, why don't we do that? By the way, then we'll close with this. Do you play brackets? Do you play Survivor? What do you do personally, Bob? Anything?
Yeah, I do brackets. I've it's not a huge pool. Friends pool for, you know, maybe there's 200, 300 people or something like that. I've won it a couple times. It's just for trash talk and stuff. I'm not in a huge major pool anywhere.
All right. I like it. Bob's like 200, 300 people. I won it a couple times. No big deal. That's Bob. Bob, let's have you back on tomorrow. Really appreciate it, man.
All right, buddy.
The great Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com, at drbobsports on Twitter, courtesy, again, of the Progressive Guest Line. Crack is here. Kelly and I, we're going to do a draft. Are we going to do an NCAA tournament draft? You
and me? We're going to do it.
Head to head, me and Kelly. That's coming up. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet. $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. Hell of a deal. You could earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Do not wait. Download the app now. Download the app now and use code ANG when you sign up. Got to use that code ANG and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Live from Bar Canada at the D. Ladies and gentlemen, unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. What's happening?
How you guys doing? All right?
Doing very well.
Boy, it's in the air.
It is. Look at this. Look at this crowd.
Look at this crowd here.
We never have a crowd this early.
They're getting their seats this early. I was just over at Circa. I did the walk from there, and it's just like the calm before the storm. Nobody was really in there.
When Bill Krakenberger walks from Circa to the D, how many times do you get stopped?
I think I stopped once.
Once?
How'd you know that?
On Fremont?
Yeah.
We saw you shaking hands and kissing babies.
Kissing babies.
Before
the flesh.
Yeah, Fremont. So a guy walked out right at the door of the Four Queens. I don't know, like, and he's like, wait. He goes, where are you going? He's like, well, hi, how are you? Yeah. Look, I mean, nobody's there.
No.
It is it's a little wild at this time of day.
Yeah.
Fremont.
This feels great to be alive.
This
is what it's all about. This is the greatest thing ever. Will and I were talking about this the other day. It's like, no matter how, Will was saying, and it wasn't just me, no matter how old we get, right? So we're all betters, and we tend to, as we get older, even if we weren't betters, right? The older you get, you tend to get more jaded, right? Your childhood love for teams tends to dissipate over time for any number of reasons. But there is something about March Madness, right? Selection Sunday to this morning, the brackets, Survivor, whatever you're playing, I don't think you ever outgrow this.
No, this is, I used to go out with my buddies every year back in the 90s, you know, from back east. And you come out Wednesday, by the way, it was like early 90s, you think you know what you're doing. You got your own teams. But you want to stay at a place, too. Like, I was thinking to myself, we used to go to Bally's for some reason because it was the famous Four Corners. There was more sports books there. You had the Bally sports book. You, of course, had Bellagio. You had Caesars. You had the Barbary Coast. But behind the Barbary Coast, there was another sports book there, too. Maybe the Maxim had their own. They had a book at the Maxim. But there was the Bourbon Street. There was a place called Bourbon Street. So I have six line sets you can look at in a matter of, 30 minutes, 35 minutes. You can get around. And
a corner of the Strip in Paradise.
That corner.
Yeah.
It was actually that corner in the Strip. And the Strip and the Flamingo in that corner.
Flamingo, not B.A.
Yeah.
Flamingo.
And that particular corner right there was, I thought it was that you can reach the most books within the shortest amount of time.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the differences. This is before the internet. Amazing the differences you would find. But I was saying it to someone else, or I was talking about when we used to come out that time of the year. We used to, like right now, you used to always go to the pool. It was like 10 degrees warmer.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Something happened last decade.
You and I, we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
I brought it up. But we do get, like, if you're in town, that we do get too nice for those who are at the pool. They get nice days today and tomorrow. Then it goes back to being sucky on Saturday.
No, it's going to be like 75 today, right?
Yeah, today's nice for them. But, that's for those who have come into town. And so they do get lucky in that regard. I do have this breaking news report. Are you ready for this? From some Steve Fezzik.
Oh, yeah.
Noted bridge jumper Stephen Fezzik. The only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest.
What's that rascal up to?
famously, of course, had Purdue last year against Fairleigh Dickinson. We love Steve, but he feels the need to make all this public, and so here we are again. He lost on that. This just in. Breaking news. Fairleigh Dickinson won as a 16 seed last year, famously, and people went after him. What did he lay? -4,500, I think, last
Something
year
like
on
that,
Purdue.
Yeah.
I believe that was not. Then just a week or two ago, remember he had Villanova against DePaul, and he needed a 3-29 DePaul.
Got home easy, Kel. What are you talking about?
Never in doubt. Well, Steve is announcing that he is playing the money line on all four number one seeds, respectively.
Huh.
Now, I don't know his exact numbers, so I don't want to quote any right now. But he is on North Carolina, Purdue, Houston, and UConn the next 2 days. And again, mathematically speaking,
right?
Let's just see, because Fez was on earlier this week, and he was a joy to have on the show, and we talked briefly about this. For those, again, who are new or newish to betting, mathematically speaking, by his numbers, right, it's a 99-point-whatever chance of those teams winning on the money line. Again, this is not about spreads. He's betting on the money line. He's laying a cartoonish number on it. But value is value. And to someone like him who does things through a mathematical lens, if it is perceived as plus EV, which it is to him, then based on the number he's getting. That's why I don't want to quote, because if I quote something that I'm saying, it doesn't mean that that's what Steve got. And he was very clear of saying, hey, if I'm going minus 4,500 on something, don't you go minus 7,000 on it, right? Or whatever the difference is. So he is getting the best that he can, and then he is doing it. Now, it's not for everyone, though, as he said, please, you know, bet $5 on it, whatever you want to do, it's fine. But that's what he's doing. So he will be on all four number ones.
He's emptying my accounts here.
Yes.
Like he's asking me to bet for him because this is, you know, like there you go.
Yeah.
There you go, Gil. It's a live bet for you.
That's right. There it is. Yeah. And so, what does he say?
Well, that he doesn't know it yet, but it's $34,125 to win $750. So there it is. The bet has been made. And I just made it right in front of you.
That was Purdue, by the way.
Yeah, Purdue. We don't have to say where, but I mean, it's
here's Seth Davis last night. He's like, I don't know. Grambling's got the goods to be Purdue. I'm paraphrasing. You're saying it could be dicey.
Well, that's $200,000 pending on three games, Steve. Thanks.
This is so for Steve. That's his angle on it. Now, my only thing with him, and as I said it to him when he was here, because he's like, oh, your head's exploding. I don't, my head's not exploding. I get why you're doing it. I just don't know why you feel the need to make it in public all the time.
I would kind of agree with that. Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I mean, but then again, you know, I know it's mathematically right to do.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to open myself up. I don't want to deal with anybody going nuts. And you want to know something? You guys both notice, right? Most people are rooting against them.
Oh, well, of course.
We talked about this the other day.
Yeah.
They're rooting against them.
Because I will tell you, during the DePaul-Villanova game, as it was going down the wire, everyone was just rooting against him. And all I did was I was just shaking my head. I was like, oh, please don't lose.
I mean, we talked about the
please
next day. How many people texted you during that?
I probably had four, five, six
different texts.
That's the one thing I will say. He completely took the attention of all of gambling Twitter with that.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody was rooting against him.
If I'm being honest, I mean, I want him to win every single one of
those
bets. I kind of hope it's in Villanova style, though, so I get like a miniature sweat on my side.
100%. Just to let him feel it a little bit and then have him win it.
I got to be honest. You know, I actually did. I bet that for him. And I was one of the bets. He might have had more, but I didn't know that. I wasn't watching the game at all. Someone said to me, do you believe this upset happened? They didn't even know I bet it. And I was like, what? What upset? And I was like, oh, my God. I turned it on. It was like it was literally 57-55 or something like that. It was whatever it was. It was 2 points. And then they had to make the three with 13 seconds.
Villanova hit a three with
whatever, 15 seconds?
Like
whatever.
9 seconds, whatever it was. Yeah. I don't know, but don't hold me to that. But with seconds left in the game, and then the final possession, DePaul, just they didn't even get past half court.
You're kidding me.
They got the ball stolen.
Left?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
He got stolen.
Pain.
Yeah. So anyway, he by the way, if you're wondering if I'm speaking out of school, no, Steve authorized that I could say it to the world.
A win's a win. I just told people. So
yeah.
A win is a win and is a win.
The part that's interesting about what you said, though, is that everyone was rooting against
him. Everyone's rooting against
him. And that, we've said so many times, is the listen, I've said it to Steve, too. In his case, does he bring part of it onto himself? He does. If he's here, he admits that he does. And I always say to him, I go, Steve, why are you, you're a nice person in private. Why do you got to be this brash guy in general on Twitter? He goes, I know you're right. And then the second I turn the corner, he's back to doing it again. Like he's like a child that can't help himself. So he does bring some of it on himself. But generally speaking, like I don't get the whole thing where bettors are rooting against each other. I don't get it at all. It doesn't make any sense.
Now, right.
I don't know what it is in the DNA of bettors where like because they want to be right about future outcomes, they got to disparage the guy next to them. It's not enough for them to be right. They got to say, I'm right and you're wrong.
It's really hard to bet where 50,000 will hurt me mentally, physically, emotionally, financially.
Yeah.
But to make 1,000 doesn't really, 1,000's a good dinner. Like, so I can't,
right.
I almost can't justify it, but I understand why he does it. That's all.
It's wild though. Like I'm looking at the board right now. Like I'm just going to use UConn as an example, like 26 to 26.5 point favorite in that game against Stetson. Money line wise, I see any range from -7,500 to -20,000.
Right. That's why I'm not saying a number because I don't know what he got it at.
But that's a massive difference, obviously.
Yeah, not great. It seems much bigger than it is when you get to those numbers, but it's still a difference for sure. All right, we'll come back. Dan Levitard next on GK Network. We're coming back. We'll do a March Madness draft. Bill, you want to join us? Say
sure.
Yes.
Sure.
That's next.